the noise better in the dead air, don't you think? It's 12:06. It's cold outside, and I guess most of you are curled up in your beds or hiding in your closets with your cordless phones, whose batteries are running down, which means they have to boost the thing on the phone in order to hear you. But that's all right. You know, I do welcome calls. And the number here is 632-6901. And we have a terrific feature coming up tonight. We are going to do something that had been promised over the past few weeks, but, you know, being as unethical as we are, we didn't deliver. Well, we changed our minds. This time, we are going to deliver. And I've got the poetry guy waiting for me right now, and he's here. He's on the eeny, meeny, miny, mo line here. And you are not on. Call me again. Okay, why that didn't work, I have absolutely no idea. But, okay, poetry guy, give me another buzz, and we will get you on, and we will get the advertised special on brain damage. Here he is. There you go. Yeah, you heard.
All right.
Good. Okay, let's get this thing on the road. So start us off with the opening of the brain damage story.
Okay. Well, we can make it up as we go along, but I'll start off by saying that, let's say there was once this girl. She was about 12 years old, and her name was Fellatio. And Fellatio was a very big fan at one time, or had been for a long time, of sports. She had really loved to watch sports and participate in sports. But her favorite sport of all really had to be baseball. Baseball was something that she really could get into, and she had a pretty good arm. She had a pretty good sidearm, and she felt it getting stronger. And she also had a pretty keen eye, and she liked watching the major league pitchers as they took their turn, and she hoped someday she would make it. But as time went on, baseball started to hit a sour note.
Mm-hmm.
It started to go through sort of a crisis. A crisis that seemed to be lacking. But I thought baseball was really in the downfall, and ever since the year 1962. It had really been going downhill. Baseball had become overwrought with a loss and a gain of basically just greediness, money, and lack of motivation and lack of what the game had really been about. And that sort of affected Fellatio, because she really felt something strong for the game. She really wanted to see it blossom. And so, as the season and the summer would go on, she would think more about how it was changing. And one night she went to sleep. And she woke up, or she thought she woke up. She started to hear like a rap on the window. It was sort of like a scratch at first on the window. Sort of like a scratch, but then more and more it started to feel like something was coming right through the window. And in fact, she sat up, and she found out that she was not in her room. She was not in her bed. But in fact, she was in Comiskey Park in Chicago. And she was sitting there in the bleachers of Comiskey Park and waiting, or thinking that there must have been a game, and she must have had a ticket, and she must be there for some reason. But in fact, the whole stadium was dormant. There was nobody there. It was completely dark, and there were no lights. And she was just sitting there, all alone in Comiskey Park. Luckily, she had a few Heath bars, so she could sort of sit through this. But as she's sitting there, she also started to hear voices. Cheers, groans, crowds. Ice cream, popcorn. She started to hear sounds, and it was amazing to her because she couldn't see anyone. And as she started to inhale the atmosphere, as one always does at a baseball game, she started to feel a presence right in front of her in the row in front. And she couldn't really see that presence, but pretty soon that presence started to materialize just a little bit. It was sort of eerie and shady and sort of half complete. But what she could make out was that there was a figure standing in front of her wearing all black. It was an all-black uniform, black socks, black cap, and the whole deal. And she was wondering who this could be. And gradually, she sort of put two and two together. And by the tone of the voices and by the talk of what was going on, she started to realize that actually this was about sometime 1920s or just a little bit earlier. And then this figure started to whisper things to her like, baseball, loss, baseball. And she was sort of confused, and she sort of tried to make out what was going on. And gradually, this figure started to talk a little bit more. Felatio, you have been chosen. You have been chosen to do something for which we need of your services. Baseball, the game that I loved. The game that I loved in 1919. When I played for the Chicago White Sox, has been going through terrible, terrible times. I was arrested and put on trial for something I did not do. This happened in 1919. Do you know what that was, Felatio? Felatio tried to go through all her memories of baseball history because she knew everything, fact for fact for fact. And then it occurred to her, the Chicago Black Sox scandal of 19, mm-hmm. but I'm not even sure. But anyway, she started to put two and two together that this was actually one of the players from the Chicago Black Sox scandal. And he said, and he went on, I have been searching for someone to help me. We must bring back something that has been withdrawn from the game. The energy, the source, the power, the passion has all gone. And I am paying a price for something I did not do. And in the Indian philosophy, that's known as karma. When something comes back to pay a debt. And it could be, Felatio thought, being somewhat philosophical, that baseball was paying some sort of a debt. They had lost something. And Shulis and the figure went on. I must tell you that there must be some way for you to bring something back to baseball, which it has either lost or doesn't have yet. And my name is Shulis Joe Jackson. And I have been serving a crime, as have a few of my other friends, for something we did not commit. And we see the trend in baseball and how it's going. And we see it heading back towards the terrible incidents that occurred at my time. And we want you to go back. And we want you to bring something back for baseball. Something that it needs. Something that it lacks. We can't tell you what that is, but you must go to another universe or another galaxy where they really know the heart and soul of games, where they know how to take things the right way, where they know where the right emphasis belongs. You must go there, Felatio. And with that, the spirit was gone. And Felatio was left in the dark. And seemingly she had certain powers that she didn't normally have. She was able to float, and she was able to rise above the ground into the sky. Not something she could do before, but now she thought If he wants me to get something, where will I go? How will I get there? I don't even know how to get to other universes. I don't even know what other universes are called. But with that, Felatio was left to fend for herself. She felt she wanted to take this mission on, and she wanted to find some way to help baseball. And so she set out. And with that, I'll leave you to pick up.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to put my own piece in, except to establish continuity, and then I'll put something in at the end, because it may get to the point where it's just going to be me and you. And I want to see what's out there first before I put my own in.
All right.
Okay? I mean, I know where to go from here, but I want to see where our audience takes this. Well, you know what I'm going to do? Do you mind if I leave you on hold?
Yeah, I'll be on hold.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, and we'll see what's out there. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is go to a break, and we will check through. And those of you who are on the line, I'll be with you in a minute. Hang on, folks. This is Brain Damage, 90.1 FM, WUSB. Time is now 12:17, and I will be back in just a minute. The sports section on terrorism.
Would you rather play without Charles Smith, or would you rather have him healthy?
Well, right now, the Knicks
No. Bottom line.
No.
Would you rather have him or not?
The Knicks are
bottom line,
disarray.
Would you rather have him or not?
No, I want Danny Manning.
Okay.
I want Danny Manning, because the guy will at least score, though. Charles Smith plays no defense. Everyone says that he causes matchup problems. Yes, he causes matchup problems for his own team.
Is Danny Manning going to come into New York and unseat Patrick Ewing and take away his scoring opportunities? Because I guarantee you, if Danny Manning takes the last shot in a game that needs to be won and Patrick Ewing didn't touch the ball and was wide open, New York fans will bomb the Garden.
Yes, and
they will bomb.
Yes, and Charles Smith's 20-footer.
The sports section every Sunday night from 10 to midnight on 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook. Worth tuning in just to hear these guys argue. Worth calling in just to argue with them.
The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. Thomas A. Edison.
The ordinary doctor is interested in the treatment of disease. The nature curist is interested in the promotion of health. His interest begins where that of the ordinary doctor ends. Mahatma Gandhi.
Natural Alternatives is an innovative weekly radio program which delivers the listener the latest information about the use of natural medicine.
We hope that you, the educated healthcare consumer, will tune in weekly as we explore aspects of health that empower you with the knowledge and tools to help you and your family attain optimum wellness.
We will investigate aspects of traditional and ethnic medicine from a global perspective and the many practices which encompass the growing field of natural medicine, like the sciences of clinical nutrition, phytotherapy, homeopathy, chiropractic, naturopathic medicine, and the power of the mind in healing.
We'll also explore the frontiers of medicine in the future, the 21st century, and, as an exciting feature, Natural Alternatives will include short mini-series focusing on current events, the political arena, reviews of books, magazines, and conferences that keeps you, the listener, on the cutting edge. So join your hosts, Dr. Eugene Zamperone
and Dr. Ellen Kamine, every Friday night at 6 p.m. on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook, and begin your journey towards a healthier tomorrow.
Welcome back to Brain Damage. Time is now 12:20, and we do have a couple of people who would like to expand on that story, and we will go to them right now. Okay, let's get the telephone up here and the door closed because we had some background noise in here. It sounds more like a police scanner than anything else. We may have him in on the fun, too, and see if we can tie in public safety to this. Who knows? Hey, they have to do something relevant for once. Hi there.
Hi, I'm on the air.
Yes, you are. Where do you want to go with this?
All right. Felicio, right? That's the guy's name.
Felicio. Girl. Girl.
Felicio was walking. What was the last thing that was said? I don't know.
Okay. She was visited by the spirit of Joe Jackson. And she has this capability now to travel to other universes and find out what either has been lost or could be added to the game of baseball.
So, before she went to a universe, she went to her house.
Mm-hmm.
Met a good friend, Matt.
Oh,
that name, right?
Yeah, I guess you can use it.
All right. Matt talked to her and said,
I should trust her rights.
Well, I got these newfound powers that I can go to different universes and stuff like that. And Matt's like, whoa, cool. But for what? And Felicio goes, to find out the meaning of the true sport of baseball and how other people play their game. Matt goes, can I go too? And Felicio goes, no, my powers are limited only to me. Well, a jealous rage burns inside Matt's soul. That night, when they had the farewell dinner, Matt slips some poison into the cup. Unfortunately, Felicio was immune to the poison, but she woke up an amnesiac, and she had no idea what her quest was. So then she was visited by Sugar Joe again, who said, Felicio, you remember your quest? And she goes, no, who are you? Sugar Joe goes, I have given you powers to find the meaning of the sport we call baseball. And Felicio goes, oh, really? And Matt was listening in. And Matt had a knife, and Matt was going to kill Felicio. Shoeless Joe says, there is great danger here. You must fly. And Felicio goes, well, I do not know how. And all of a sudden, she found herself lifting off the ground, shooting through the galaxy, until she ended up in galaxy 300 million thousand light years away, called Bob. And she went to the nearest planet with intelligent life. And she met a guy named Franklin, who surprisingly looked just like her, with brown hair and medium build. They talked. They figured out that this universe was a parallel just like theirs, just to ours. The planet was known as Joe. And everything on it was just like this, except there was a friendly guy named Matt, who was very nice. He aided Felicio on his quest, on her quest. Her quest. Franklin joined Felicio. They looked around, and then Felicio realized, I'm forgetting about my quest about baseball. So she looked to see how sports were on that planet. They had baseball. They did not have a strike. The New York Mets were still losing, though, so some things never change. And this parallel universe, Felicio discovered the true meaning of herself, though, that she was one of many Felicios and Franklin in parallel universes existing all over the place. And baseball had a different meaning in each. Some hatred. In some universes, it was distraught with murder and greed. In some universes, it was for fun. In some universes, it was played by Russians for $150 a week. And in some, baseball did not exist. Which are the universes he wanted to explore more. To be continued.
Okay, so far so good.
Thank you.
Okay, and we will proceed. And actually, we're going to take a little... We're going to reintroduce Jim. Actually, we have two Jims here. I have one Jim sitting next to me, and do you want to work with this or what? Do you want to work with this?
I'll pass. I want to hear a couple more.
Okay. He's still formulating his passage, so he has time. He has the opportunity. We will now move on to the other Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Where do you want to go from here, or do you?
I don't even know what's going on because I have the radio on low and I just came in.
Okay. We will backtrack just a touch. And matter of fact, I have the poetry guy sitting here on the other line listening intently to everything that transpires.
Uh-huh.
And we shall go back to a young girl, preteen, named Felatio, who was visited upon by a vision of Shoeless Joe Jackson. Okay. And we have established that she now has the power, you know, huge baseball fan.
Right.
She has the power now to explore other universes and find the one thing that baseball is either has either lost or needs to acquire. And we've also established that there is an enemy in Felatio's life who has the same name as me. I'm going to charge for rights for that one. And she has acquired a parallel partner named Franklin who will aid her on her quest. But we haven't quite established what that is. We've established the fact that there are parallel universes where baseball is played. Somewhere there may not, where it may not be played. But those who have it, it's different, completely different. There, we know of one universe where baseball is played as a form of aggression, where a pitcher can get a strike if he hits the batter in the head. And where first base is surrounded by a ring of fire. The bases, all three bases are surrounded by rings of fire. So to advance to a base, you really have to be on your toes.
A hot tail.
Yes, yeah, and they don't call third base a hot corner for nothing.
Right.
And where the batters are not allowed to wear helmets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have really thick skulls over there. I don't know. I guess must stimulate their thinking to get hit by, you know. But on the other hand, they have to defend themselves with the bats, too. The bats are flatter. They look like cricket bats, so it enables them to, you know, deflect the pitches and rain at their heads.
That's weird.
Ball doesn't travel as far, though. That's the only problem. It's kind of like what it was before Babe Ruth came along, where they have a lot of doubles and triples, not a lot of home runs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird. I know. Oh, God. I can't even begin to think.
You know what? I'm going to put you on with the poetry guy, and you both are going to witness and see what we can do with the beginnings of this story.
Right.
Okay. Hi there. What do you think so far?
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Well, am I on with someone else?
Well, you will be in a second.
Okay.
Hang on. Okay. Okay, so we have, as we said before, we have established the principle of multiple universes. We have a partner for Felatio, and we have an enemy, an alter ego, so to speak.
The alter ego is you, or well?
No, it isn't me. It's somebody with my name.
Someone named Matt.
Yeah.
Named Matt.
Yeah, I mean, we could always change that. You know, we can.
I see. All right.
Yeah. But, you know, the guy had to get his little jive in.
Yeah, right.
Yes. 632-6901 if you want to continue the story. Or just be a witness to what's going on. That's perfectly okay, too. Just dial up and we'll have a little bit of fun here. But now, the only trouble is when you have something like this, you have a lot of people who are trying to put stuff together and aren't going to dial up until they're ready. Because then they get the phone ringing in their ear and they're really not up to it.
Yeah.
So I do have a couple of people who are ready to go right now.
If anybody asks you for parking, you know what the rule is.
Oh, yes.
All right, and male or female.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if they beg or not.
Yes. The rule primarily is contribute to the story. Actually, it can't even be that, because if I get a lot of contributions to the story, where am I going to put everybody?
Yeah, I know. Well,
so
not all of them.
What we will do is we will establish a kind of, I don't know, not necessarily judges, but a committee of some sorts to kind of string everything together,
right,
made up of myself, because I'm sitting here, and starting with you two also. And we will, of course, work from there. But I think we've got something going.
Not too many people, though.
Well, like I said, there, you know, there is a realistic limit to how many we can put on this thing. We do have to be able to get things done. So I will break for a second here, and I will check out and see what's up in the netherworlds of radio.
No problem.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
Just check back with me every so often if you're going to put me on hold.
Absolutely. That's the reason why I put you there.
Okay, good.
Okay. So, back in a second, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually about a minute and a half. 12:31, WUSB.
Hi there. This is Adam West of Batman, and you too can feel like a hero if you listen to Destiny's The Voice of Science Fiction every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook. Same bat time, same bat station.
Hi, this is Gail Polivy
and Jennifer Lynch
from the Lavender Women Radio Show, the show for and about the lesbian community.
Music, culture, and talk.
We're here every Thursday evening from 6 until 7 p.m.
And we're queer all the time.
WUSB 90.1, the Lavender Women Radio Show, every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
The show for and about the lesbian community.
You said that already. We can use...
Hi, folks. That's right. You can hear music news and sensible shoes on the Lavender Women every week. But we now have an addition to our story here. Apparently, Fleischer and Franklin have found themselves in a town in Alabama by the name of Troy. And Jim ran across them. And he is going to tell us exactly what he told them. Jim, go for it.
Well, I told them that what they should do is, if they want to continue baseball in its national pastime, that they should kill Donald Fair and play the game without the cost of money. Because no matter what, between the money, between the players and the owners, it don't matter. It's the fans that matters. It's a kid's game. And if you take it away from the kids, then there will be no game.
Okay, so now, of course, they're getting inputs from everybody right now. Now we have a disgruntled fan, so we're getting an idea of what baseball has lost. We haven't quite reached the pinnacle just yet, but part of the deal here is to find out what a lot of other people think is missing, because the answer may lie right there with the fans. So. Back to the poetry guy and Jim we go, and so we are searching for an answer, and we run across a disgruntled fan in Troy, Alabama. So where do we go from here?
Oh, wow.
That's Troy.
Were you just on the air with some people?
Yeah, I have another Jim sitting right here next to me, and... Fellatio and Franklin have found themselves in Troy, Alabama, and they were, you know, Jim bumped into them, and, you know, they asked him, why not, with everybody they run into. But I think they're going in the right direction. They're going into a place where baseball is still played, you know, mostly at the minor league level, but that's where baseball's roots tend to be, because a lot of the players back in the early days came from the South.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a feeling that they're getting warmer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, of course... was just this person that she met?
Yeah, just some guy, you know, they were just traveling through Troy, and they just bumped into Jim, and Jim told them what he thought.
I see.
Yeah, of course, they didn't let on what their powers were, what they were doing. They can't do that, because, you know, naturally people think they're nuts. But... that's what happens down there.
They were sort of investigating.
They were investigating, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. 632-6901 to continue the travels of Fellatio and Franklin through the universe of baseball. That's right. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just baseball. That's where we started. We can move on. We can go into other sports, into other aspects of life. Because for many people, baseball is just that, a way of life.
Yeah, and you can find what might be missing in other aspects of life, too.
Absolutely.
Baseball.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a quick break. And, for about 30 seconds or so, I'm going to put you guys back on hold so you guys keep listening. And we will see what is out there. I know a lot of people were maybe not familiar enough with baseball. I mean, we're not exactly going into W.P. Kinsella here, Field of Dreams. We just started with one thing. It's a pastime. It's, to many Americans, it's a religion. We can go into religion, too. Hey, religion, politics, okay around here. This is brain damage, after all. Back in a minute.
Hi, everyone. This is Teresa Zapolska inviting you to tune in to the Polka Country USA show every Sunday from 5:30 to 7, where you hear polka music north, south, east, west, the oldest, the newest, and the best. And remember, all the best can be found here at your favorite radio station, WUSB 90.1 on your FM dial from Stony Brook.
This is Mark Leonard of Star Trek, Spock's father, but not Leonard Nimoy's. If you're a science fiction fan, logic dictates that you listen to Destinies, the voice of science fiction, every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook. Live long and prosper.
Okay, looks like we're going to have to do a little bit of backtracking. And she has a dream where she is visited by the ghost of Joe Jackson of the Chicago Black Sox. Well, actually, Chicago White Sox. They were called the Black Sox after the scandal of 1919. Go see Eight Men Out if you're not certain what happened there. So, he has put her on a mission to find out what's missing in the game. Now, this is where it started. Find out what's missing in the game. She has the capability to travel to other universes, where she meets a fellow named Franklin. And also, it has run across an enemy. It just happens to have the same name as me. Wonder why. But anyway, she's traveled to parallel universes. She's been to Troy, Alabama, of all places. She's met disgruntled fans. She's seen a version of baseball where the bases are surrounded by rings of fire. She has seen a game, that very same game, where a strike is really a strike. A strike is where the ball is hits the batter on the head. And these guys throw hard. Where baseball is a form of war. And she's seen so many other things, too. Only trouble is you're going to have to tell us exactly what she's seen. And we go to the phones to find out just what she sees next. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. So Felicia has a dream with a cricket.
Okay.
And she wonders what this small chirping creature has to do with baseball. But yes, the cricket takes her to cricket land, where she sees men clad in white playing the sport of cricket, the ancestor to baseball. And these men love the game. They are not pumped superstars who make millions and millions of dollars a year and strike whenever they wish. Yes, Felicia thought she had found her answer until that rogue villain, Matt, blows up cricket land and leaves Felicia once again with her dilemma. I'm afraid I cannot continue. I must pass the torch to someone else, sir.
Okay, but thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Huge cricket fan, I presume. So, let's see. We have the fellow who introduced us to Franklin. And me. Oh, no. Wait, it ain't me. It's some other guy named Matt. Yo.
Hello.
Okay, where do you want to go from here?
What just happened?
Matt just blew up cricket land.
What?
Matt just blew up cricket land.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he got tired of the three-day matches.
What's cricket land?
Cricket land? Where crickets play cricket.
Okay. Where is Felicio and Franklin?
We don't know. That's up to you to tell us.
Felicio and Franklin. On Earth. Or back to Alabama. All right?
Mm-hmm.
To seek out baseball roots. Little do they know that Matt was following them. They went to a nice town in Arkansas. Called Little Rock. All of a sudden, in the outskirts, there was a big flash and appeared Bobby Bonilla. And he said, I have been granted your powers from Shoeless Joe, so I will be able to aid you in your quest. For I know the true meaning of baseball. And starts with the letter S. I'm going to tell you right now. Too late was the gunshot that killed him by Matt's gun. Wait a minute. Matt killed him. Bobby Bonilla is dead. Felicio and Franklin are left with a single clue. Starts with S. They started walking in Georgia. And they met a humble peanut farmer named Sly. And one of Sly and said, we know the thing that's lost in baseball starts with S. What is it? And Sly says, if I had to make a guess, it would be soul. But they said no, because baseball has enough soul. And they said, Sly goes, are you sure baseball has soul? And they said, sure. So they went up east coast into New York City and went to Ernie the taxi cab driver. And he goes, the thing missing.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is no longer slick. Baseball should be slick. And they said, no, that can't be it. Because baseball is very slick. And Franklin goes, in my planet, in my galaxy, where I come from, baseball is very, very slick. So they figured out that the one universal constant that all baseball games in every galaxy in the whole universe are missing starts with an S. It's not slick. It's not soul. But who knows? Is Bobby Bonilla a holographic image generated by Matt to throw Felicio and Franklin off their track? Is Bobby Bonilla really not dead and in the nursing home contemplating his revenge on Matt? Is this whole thing just a dream? And Felicio never left her house in the first place? Find out when this story continues.
Okay, thanks. Okay, but now I'm not so sure. I think you got the name confused. Is it Matt or Met?
Matt. Did I say Met?
No, yeah. Well, figured some of you shot Bobby Bonilla. I think figured his first name would be Met and his last name would be Fan.
Okay.
Like Met Fan.
As a pun, he could be Matt Fan, all right? You like that?
Yeah.
All right.
Matt the Met Fan.
Okay.
Or the Met Basher. Yeah, that's right. The Met that we found out. We just found out something, another little piece of information. Fellatio and Franklin went up to the Astoria Studios of WFAN. And one thing it also gives them the power is they can tell, they can see, okay, envision who's on the line when somebody calls into Steve Summers' show. And the Met Basher called.
Do you have that power?
I don't have that power.
Do you have, like,
but Fellatio and Franklin have that power. No, Fellatio and Franklin have that power.
For Matt the Met Basher.
It was, yeah, it was Matt. It was the Met Basher.
The
he was calling himself the Met Basher for all these years. We find out that's who it was.
Wait, what are you talking about?
The Met Basher. You don't know who the Met Basher is?
Now you're calling on this radio show.
Not this radio show. No, that radio show. So they find out that's who the Met Basher is. No wonder he shot Bobby Bonilla.
Killed Bobby Bonilla.
He shot Bobby Bonilla.
Could have just been a ploy so people would think he's not the Met Basher.
Possibly. But also explains why he didn't shoot Daryl Strawberry. He figured he'd screw himself up.
Well, Bobby Bonilla was the guy who came to them, so he had no choice.
Right.
I think he's just a baseball hater who doesn't want them to know what's missing so they can put it back in baseball. So that's up to the next person to decide.
Let's see what happens next.
Thanks, goodbye.
Thanks. What does happen next?
I am so lost.
You are lost. And you know what? That's where they are. They can't figure out why the Met Basher shot Bobby Bonilla, or whether in fact it was all an illusion just to throw them off. So now they are truly lost.
Dude, I don't like get this.
Neither do they.
Well,
hey, if you were visited upon by the ghost of Joe Jackson of all people, if you're a baseball fan, you at least know who he is. If you're not, you're screwed. But on the other hand, it's the one thing that's missing in baseball, according to Bobby Bonilla, starts with S. Okay? What could it be? Could it be sex? I don't know. That's up to you. You tell me.
Dude, you're going to get, like, mad at me, but I have no clue what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're just trying to elaborate on the beginnings of a story. And we're just going to continue the story through the duration of the show, if possible.
Who made this story up?
The poetry guy.
That guy?
Yeah. Okay. You know what?
I'm, like, sorry, but I...
Yeah, but I'm going to give you a second chance. What I'm going to do is put you on with the poetry guy. He's going to explain what's going on.
All right.
Hang on. Okay. Hi, we got Mike waiting.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Okay, let me pick him up, and you guys can fill him in, and then we'll work from there, okay?
Yeah.
You're in, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on and keep listening.
Huh?
Yeah.
One thing, if I'll probably stay on, like, you know, for, like, 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
If you need me to elaborate, then call me, you know, then come, you know, tell me.
Right.
I have something to add, or otherwise, you know, I'll just wait, like, 15 more minutes.
Right. Okay. Just stick around for 15 more minutes, and then if I do need you for the rest of the show, just give me another buzz.
Okay.
Okay? Hang on. Okay. Okay, where you want to go from here?
What is going on?
Oh, you haven't been listening?
I have been listening. I'm lost.
It's the start of a story.
About
where,
what?
About a girl who was visited by the ghost of Joe Jackson, trying to find out what's missing in baseball. We found out that Bobby Bonilla, or an imitation thereof, said that the thing missing from baseball starts with S.
What?
Something that starts with S.
What is missing from baseball?
We don't know. We're trying to find out.
Is this a true story?
Of course not. Well, maybe it is. Who knows? Maybe there is somebody named Fellatio and Franklin floating around trying to find this stuff out. And when they do find it out, the strike may end.
I am confused.
Oh, boy.
I am confused.
You are confused. Hang on just a minute. We'll try to unconfuse you. But in the meantime, let's see. What can we kill time with here? We will kill time with Max Moore. Maybe it is an S at all. Maybe it starts with M.
This is Max Moore, detective in Moneytown, with another credit card case. I got a call from Solid State University. I'm matriculated right over. High-tech joint. Lots of computer nerds.
Mr. Moore?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, like what happened is, you see, I...
Uh-huh.
Well, I needed a breeder reactor. Fast?
Uh-huh. And you charge it on your credit card.
On all four of them, and...
And you can't pay it off.
Well, unless I, like, win the Nobel Prize.
Just as I figured.
What?
Bad credit behavior. Listen, kid. Credit cards aren't for everything. Use them with common sense. And don't overuse them, understand?
Uh-huh.
And you need to think about how soon you'll be able to pay the cards off. Get it?
Cool.
Control your credit cards, or they'll control you. Now, go build your dream, kid.
Yes, sir.
Another student on the way to good credit. Want some more tips? Call 1-800-833-9666 and ask for me, Max Moore, detective in Moneytown.
Well, again, it's a story involving him maybe sometime in the future. But right now it's 12:52, and some chilling revelations of what's going on here. We move on. Go for it.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Carl Roberts.
Okay.
I have a very special story.
Go for it.
Okay, I'm a dancer at the Show Palace on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue in Manhattan. And I was visited by Vince Coleman and Doc Gooden one evening. And we went to East New York, and I showed Doc Gooden, Dwight, how to purchase drugs. And we were in Manhattan. And, well, actually, we were in Brooklyn, you know, in East New York. We were with Tattoo and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Snake Pit. We bought cocaine, and I hung out with them. You know, I was one of the groupies for, you know, the Mets. Vince Coleman at the time was in the Cardinals.
Yeah.
We all hung out and had a great time. Dallas Strawberry was also involved in the dancing. We went there. We hung out, and it was just, we had a fun time.
Okay, so what is the elusive S that baseball is missing?
The elusive S that baseball is missing is Satan, because it all comes down to that. It's money and drugs and Tattoo and 970 Beef. It all is involved in an undercover conspiracy with Jack the Ripper and Jean-Claude Van Damme. They all know about the Snake Pit in East New York.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye.
We'll work from there. Okay. You heard it.
No, I didn't. What just happened? I don't have my radio.
You don't have your radio?
No.
Oh, God.
Why, what the guy?
Well, this fellow, he has some bad news. He's just informed Felatio and Franklin about some things that were going on involving Dwight Gooden and Vince Coleman.
What?
Well, he went to an exotic dance show over in Manhattan, and he took him down to Washington Square Park where they bought drugs and had some fun with that. So he thinks the missing S is Satan.
Okay, well, Lucio and Franklin, that's their names, they left the exotic dance club. And they said, Franklin goes, Satan, that might be a good idea. But Lucio goes, no, we don't need Satan in baseball. And then all of a sudden, they both had a sudden urge to visit the great European city, which will remain nameless for the time being. They floated to that city. They met their mentor. This guy said, listen, I will reveal to you all which is missing from baseball. When you restore this element to baseball, everything will be back. The players, the coaches, the managers, the fans, everyone will rush in to see the glorious sport of baseball. Come forth, Felicio. And I will tell you. And he whispered it in his ear. In her ear. They flew back to Yankee Stadium. Went to all the hot dog vendors. Told them what was missing. They all agreed that this will restore baseball. The next day, the Daily News had on the cover, baseball strike ended. Baseball players return to games next Monday. VIP, and all tickets will be reimbursed. That Monday, the fans rushed to the stadium, and all was well in the land of baseball, just because the concession stands now sell Salisbury steak hamburgers, which was a missing element of baseball, but will forever be in the land of the stadium. The end.
Okay, we move on. Okay. Okay, where do we go from here?
Hello, you put me on hold. I was, lost.
Okay, you probably haven't found your way just yet. Yo.
Yo.
Okay, where do we go from here? He thinks it's all over. We're not so sure.
No, I think they traveled to another dimension. And they find a place where S&M is worked into baseball somehow.
S&M worked into baseball. Okay, they got leather gloves, that's for sure. Let's see, where do they, what happens when somebody strikes out, they get whipped? I don't get it. Where do they get it?
Figure it out right now.
Okay, you want me to figure it out?
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it in.
Trying to work S&M into baseball. Well, let's see, Jose Canseco and Madonna probably introduced it. Let's see, S&M into baseball. You got something, Jim? No? Let's find out now. Let's find out what comes up next. Just a second. Okay, that's it?
Yeah.
Worked S&M into baseball. Okay, let's see what else we can work into it. Okay, your turn.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah.
I know what the S is.
What is? What is it?
Salary cap.
Salary cap? Oh, Bobby Bonilla would say that?
Yeah. Oh, it was Bobby Bonilla?
Bobby Bonilla said it's, but baseball needs started with an S.
Oh,
it wasn't soul.
Oh,
it wasn't slickness. Salary cap? Ooh, them's fighting words. Hang on just a second. I'm putting you on hold. I'm not hanging up on you. Just a second.
All right.
The missing S is salary cap.
Oh, yeah?
Salary cap.
Ooh. From Bobby Bonilla, then, you know, this guy, Matt, must really be putting a show on. Yes.
You hang up on that kid because he said he was lost?
No, he's still around.
I thought you hung up on him.
No, he's still on hold.
That's funny. He's like, I'm lost. You hung up on him.
Yeah. Now we're really lost. Why would Bobby Bonilla say that the baseball needed a salary cap?
Because he's a moron.
Or maybe he's an illusion.
Now, explain one thing to me, because I never quite understood this. The salary cap is what the owners want. I don't even know what the salary cap exactly is.
Okay. What a salary cap is that every owner is going to be, would be allowed to spend the exact same amount of money on player personnel. And it would be, at least in the NBA, it's predicated on a fixed percentage of the gross revenues to the league. 52% in the case of the NBA. Now, when the NBA put this into effect, the entire league was in financial trouble, and they figured this was a chance to allow the players' fortunes to grow with the league. As the league did better, so did the players. Now they want to get rid of the salary cap because they don't think it's needed anymore. Baseball, on the other hand, wants to put a salary cap in because that's the only way they can control their bidding impulses. They can't be fiscally responsible on their own, so they want to put a rule in. Now, baseball has been crying poverty, but since they're not required by law to open their books, nobody really believes that. That's why the salary cap has been universally shot down by the players. Players don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the players are just saying, unless they disclose exactly how much they're making, how do we know they're not stiffing us?
Right. Now, wait. I think I basically get the gist, but now this doesn't exactly mean that every single player gets the same exact salary.
No. Matter of fact, that's one of the biggest problems involved with it. Let's say the salary cap was $25 million. You have 25 players on your team. That does not mean that each player gets $1 million.
I see.
No, it means that one player might get $5 million, and a rookie might get about $110,000, which is the current league minimum. So, what they're afraid of is two classes of players: the big $5 million guys, and then everybody else makes garbage money by comparison. Because, you know, $110,000 is not bad money, don't get me wrong. But when people are shelling out untold millions of dollars and to both watch on TV and go to the games, and these are the guys who put the show on, they deserve a bigger cut. Just like movie stars get paid ridiculous amounts of money for the movies they do, mainly because that's how much money the movie makes.
Mm.
Yeah. So, actually, we're getting away from the story now. It's starting to get a little, technical.
If you want me to add something, I'll add something now, or else, you know, I'll hang up for now.
Tell you what, go for it. I just have to tell everybody this is the place where unique sounds begin, or where unique stories begin. WUSB Stony Brook. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, we left off with Fellatio. Where exactly did we leave off?
Well, we left off with Fellatio in, I believe they're in New York, and somebody said S&M is missing from the game. And I don't know, I thought that might have led us to Jose Canseco and Madonna, but I wasn't too sure. But we're still looking for the, salary cap, that was it. But now we're trying to figure out if this Bobby Bonilla illusion was a creation by Fellatio's enemy, Matt, just to throw them off the scent. Because why would Bobby Bonilla want a salary cap?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. So let's say that Fellatio is now contemplating what there is to be done. She has a few clues. She's not quite sure how to fit these things together. And so she needs to go back to the park, Comiskey Park, which is where she started, because she needs to go back and contemplate in that atmosphere of baseball, because it is in the atmosphere of baseball that it seems that people have to work out the problems that are in baseball. It must be within that atmosphere. That's the reason why we are having problems with the strike. And so she goes back to Comiskey Park, and she tries, in her own way, to go into a very quiet, meditative, contemplative state. And as she gradually reaches that state, sitting there in the bleachers, she again begins to hear the voices, the cries for the hot dogs and the popcorn and the Cracker Jack and all the other things that were coming around that were popular at that time, 1919. Mm-hmm. And she opens her eyes, hoping that maybe she'll see a guide. Maybe Shoeless Joe will come back. Maybe he'll have more information. But at this time, all she sees out on the middle of the field is a woman in a black bustier with blonde hair, looks somewhat dyed, and she has a leash, and on that leash, walking around on all fours, is a very big, muscular guy. A guy in a green uniform, and he's moving around.
Hold it. Green uniform? I thought didn't he get traded?
Oops.
Red.
Uh-oh.
He got traded. Okay,
red
so...
Red uniform.
He went to the...
Red uniform.
He has a blue uniform?
Red. They changed to red this year.
Oh, they changed to red.
Okay.
And so he has a red uniform on. And she's leading him around, and he's just sort of barking like a dog and acting really crazy. And she notices that, indeed, this is Madonna. And Madonna is indeed leading Jose Canseco around. And so Fellatio moves down a few rows to try and get a little closer. She doesn't want to be seen, but she at least wants to hear what they're saying. It seems that Madonna is attempting to train Jose Canseco to roll over. And Jose Canseco is not the least bit obliging. He is fighting it all the way. Madonna has a very difficult time, it seems, training this very big, very muscular person to do something she wants. However, there is certainly a lot of power to be harnessed, because Jose Canseco is a very powerful guy. And a battle begins to ensue. Jose Canseco begins to use more and more of his power, and pretty soon he is attempting to break away from the Madonna. And as this is a dream and as is anything can happen, they begin to float and they begin to pull different ways, and it's never really clear who is in control. And they start to fly off, heading towards the sky. And Fellatio flies after them, flying after Jose Canseco and Madonna. They fly through what seems to be a black hole somewhere at the edge of our galaxy. And this black hole leads them further and further and further into a darker and darker universe, one which perhaps no one could conceive of or had even thought of or has seen in the sky. And eventually, Madonna and Jose Canseco arrive at a baseball diamond in the sky, which very curiously has been formed by four very bright stars forming a baseball diamond, one for home plate, one for first base, one for second base, and one for third. And as Madonna and Jose Canseco are moving around, Fellatio follows them, and Fellatio notices that at this diamond in the sky, there are little, what seems to be little kids. They're not quite as exactly figured as human beings, but they do seem to be little kids. And as Fellatio continues to watch, she notices that they are indeed playing baseball. And there are also a lot of older, what seems to be adults, on the sidelines, cheering them on with all these expectations, yelling things, telling them to steal, telling them to slide, yelling out all sorts of verbiage. And eventually, the game does end, and the kids go to their parents, and they start to walk away. And Fellatio continues to see if she can listen in on some of the conversations that are going on between the kids and the adults. And as she gets a little closer to one of the adults and child, she hears them arguing. The child is saying, "Well, it just isn't fair. I mean, my coach promised me that I was to get $400 in Monopoly money for coming to the plate and getting on base at least 75% of the time. So I was promised $400 in the Monopoly money, and I'm not getting it, and I want to be traded." And the adult says, "Well, you know, I'm not really sure, because I think you should stay with this team. I think you should play out your option longer. I think this team is the type of team that has chemistry and that can really develop into a potential contender for the Universal Series." But the child says, "No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy." And again, Fellatio finds another adult and another child, and every single one seems to be arguing about how much Monopoly money they're supposed to receive, and none of them seem to be getting enough. And what Fellatio notices is that this is very unlike Little League back home where she's from, where the game is only played with a lot of competitiveness and a lot of organization. But she does not have any memory of the children back home getting salaries. This was very strange. She wondered why children in outer space would be getting salaries. What had the game evolved to in this universe? Okay, and with that, I think I'll leave you.
Okay, and we've got a lot to go on there. You know what? I'm going to elaborate a little bit on the Madonna and Jose Canseco thing. In the distance, Felicia sees Madonna and Jose Canseco still fighting it out. And all of a sudden, Jose is starting to take is starting to win. He's starting to take control back. He's loosening the leash around him. And all of a sudden, out of a bolt of lightning strikes, and there's Mickey Mouse in a Sorcerer's Apprentice suit. Right out of Fantasia. I mean, this is just too good, too obvious to be random. But he's shooting bolts of lightning at Jose Canseco. Shooting them, and Jose's fighting back with all his might. Hercules against maybe his own peers on Olympus. And he's being knocked down time and time again, struggling to get back up. And then Mickey Mouse speaks. But it's not the funny little voice that we're so used to hearing, originally created by Walt Disney. It's the voice of Michael Eisner, the chairman of Disney, saying, "You will obey. You will obey." And with that, we'll go to the phones. Thanks a lot.
All right, man, I'll leave you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I do have to take a break for a second, and... let's see, what shall we kill time with now? Something else to possibly add to the S&M quotient.
Doctor, you're not going to hurt me, are you?
Is this what comes to mind when you think of going to the dentist? Well, fortunately, there is a lot more to the field of dentistry than just filling cavities or patients screaming. Hello, I'm Tom Justo, a student at SUNY Stony Brook's School of Dental Medicine and host of the talk show Big Mouth. I'll take you on a tour of all of the different and fascinating areas of the dental profession, from forensic dentistry to sterilizing handpieces to issues that affect the field as we speak. This show will take a serious and intelligent look at the profession at large and will hopefully clear up any misconceptions that people have had about the field of dentistry. Keep tuning to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM to hear Big Mouth, the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock p.m. Until then, keep smiling.
So where we leave off, Michael Eisner. Well, actually, it isn't Eisner. It's Mickey Mouse saying to Jose Canseco, "You will obey." Madonna standing by, holding the leash. "You will obey." And with that, we continue. We continue.
Yeah, hi. Did anything just happen?
Well... I just had to bring everybody back up to a date after the break. We have Mickey Mouse shooting bolts of lightning at Jose Canseco. Madonna regains control, and Mickey Mouse, not in his regular voice, but the voice of Michael Eisner, the chairman of Disney, telling Jose, "You will obey."
All of a sudden, Felicio wakes up from her dream, finds herself in the ballpark where it all started. Walks outside, and all of a sudden she realizes this is what's wrong. Baseball is corrupt everywhere else. It is being run by an evil force. And although this evil force has died out in our universe, it has not in others. This evil force used the last of its powers to summon an image of Bobby Bonilla to speak that thing started with an S. So maybe Felicia would find it and restore it to baseball on Earth and restore its power on Earth. But Matt, although seeming to be evil, was really a good guy, and he did not want the truth to be known about who is controlling baseball in the other world and who must not regain control of anything in this world. And please don't censor me out for saying this, but Felicia,
yeah,
and Franklin, and Matt,
went to the center of the universe to finish, destroy, and obliterate the evil space robots in their quest to rule Earth again. But they will not succeed because they have the power of righteousness and the power of baseball.
Okay. Now we move on. Hi.
Hi.
Where do we go from here?
All right, so Jose Canseco was the Antichrist or whatever. He was just thrown in there to divert everyone from the real idea that Flacio was informing me a couple weeks ago in the Crazy Horse Lounge that this would be a force to the whole nation, and certain people will believe this, and certain, you know, Catholic groups and what have you. But the real idea is that Agnes Moorehead, you know, from Bewitched, she was the one that arranged this whole thing because she owns a certain percentage. And, you know, she's part owner of the Cubs and everything, you know. She knows exactly what she's doing. So they had Daryl Strawberry and this kid, Ken Barbera. They staged the whole event. And it all started back from the Tonya Harding event. So they had this thing going that if they had enough money going in the pool, they would do this strike, you know. And the whole missing S is sodomy because that's what Nancy Kerrigan was missing when she, in fact, hurt her ankle. But they had this whole thing going with perpetual motion and eternity, that they would eat waxed fruit, and they caused themselves to spin into, like, this little daze with utopia and whatever. But they all dressed up in white costumes and went to Central Park and beat up someone on a skateboard, which then, in turn, they traded these pictures in, you know, it was a 35 millimeter. Mm-hmm. They traded these in, got certain money, which funded their execution of Fidel Castro, which was also staged. So this whole circle of events just caused the uprising in Cuba. So what no one else understands is that Flacio was telling me this, but she didn't understand that a spirit was talking to her this whole time and through her. So Ivory Soap played a huge part in this, in the sponsoring of the gay games. So at this point, Bill Clinton had a rubber track made around the whole White House parking lot, and he had black and white pictures made of himself. So he superimposed a wig and daffodils on his chin, which made him appear to be a hippie from the 60s, so, which at that time sparked Pepsi's eyes. Woodstock 94. Do you understand?
Well, now I'm lost, but we'll move on and see where we can take this. Okay.
If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's very simple. If I can, you know.
Oh, go for it. Please, simplify.
Okay. Hummels, you know what they are, right?
Yes.
Hummels, the little porcelain statues?
Yes.
Okay. They were made back, let's say, 1850s.
Well, actually a little later than that, but keep going.
No, that's when they were brought to us, but they were made back then.
Yeah.
And they created themselves upon this whole idea of cat's eyes and rabbit's tails and feet, which made good luck to certain people with the proper, you know, carpet and drapes. So, if you can imagine maybe 17 people standing out in Washington Square Park selling acid, they would have the idea that $5 would take them to a new level, which no one else would understand unless they were there. So then $5 would be meaningless. So no one would need money for anything. Would you understand that?
Yeah, I get it now.
So like $5 is nothing. So this whole strike would have nothing to do with money. It would have to do with someone's inhibitions to just cause themselves to just cause this whole idea that would torment people and this whole Newsday front page of this little girl crying with a bag of popcorn. That's just the whole, you know, this whole bowl of crap that no one would really even think about, except they just wanted to make money off of the whole not money-making thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay,
so
got
like
it.
No
got
money
to move on.
And people's dreams all has to do with someone's stress over this little girl and this guy with one arm, you know?
Yeah.
No one has any idea that...
Your handler's trying to get in.
My handler?
Yeah, your handler. I hear another voice.
I don't hear anything. I don't know. But, you know, Duracell batteries had a part of this too, if you understand. You know, because they take pictures, they have, they charge these cameras with their batteries. So, you know, they have the little thing that they test the energy and everything.
Hey, don't forget,
they have everything to do with that whole quilt making, glam sharing thing that makes the seats, the posts, the poles, the carpenters that wear the certain shirts and the boots that make the whole stadium, and the lawn cutters that seed each grass seed individually. They have everything to do with the money that's made there. So no one's really losing money. Someone else is just gaining money and trading them over and turning them into politicians and football players. Blake Edwards and Andy Rice. Blake Edwards is what? What
did
you say?
Somebody said Blake Edwards is the Antichrist.
No, he's the kilt-wearing goat man with the flute. I don't understand about the Antichrist, but you know the flute guy with the the legs and everything.
Blake Edwards is the Antichrist. Hey, we're getting a lot more. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to make sure everything gets back on here when we're back live on the air.
Yeah. From what I was gathering, they had these Jose and Felicia were down in Washington Square sitting on a quilt and had some acid in their Kool-Aid and started tripping, and that's where I'd like to pick it up from.
Okay, go ahead.
They were listening to the Carpenters or something, too, but all of a sudden they felt in their minds they had to get to somewhere, and they were running all over. They went up to Cape Cod, and it struck them they had to get to Rabbit Hash, Kentucky on the bicentennial. So being out in P-Town, they tried to determine the best ways, and it all came to them through Mickey Mouse's intuitive voice. They got some flares and a compass and made arrangements to get lowered at midnight from a boat, and a diving bell that gave off an iridescent glow, and a big sperm whale came along and swallowed them whole in the diving bell, and they then used the flares to guide the whale and the compass to guide themselves, and they started down into Maryland, Chesapeake Bay, and trying to get inland to Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. Eventually they found that the whale swimming up the rivers and then the streams couldn't go any further in the small stream, so they set off all the rest of the flares and climbed back in the diving bell. The whale spat them out, and they rolled the rest of the way to Rabbit Hash, Kentucky in the diving bell, and they arrived on the bicentennial, and it was quite an exciting day. They had platters of beef stew, 20 feet circumference, piled 10 feet high all over town, and everybody was diving in and eating this beef stew, and also they gobbled it all up, and they were still hungry, but luckily there were a lot of chickens around. There was a harpoon factory right in town, too, that manufactured 20-foot harpoons, and if you had a chicken just right with this 20-foot harpoon, you can kill it, and that's what they did. They ran around spearing these chickens and fried them all up, and finally everybody got full and satisfied and started taking the train back to New York because they had solved the mystery, and that was simply that it was serendipity through salary satisfaction. There were actually three S's.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Bobby got shot before he could tell us the other two.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, and we do move on. We have to go back to our little continuity committee. And, hi, folks.
What's up, man?
Who's left?
Mean,
okay, so let's reassess the situation so far for those of us who are joining us, and I am lost. I am.
No, it's gotten out of hand.
Hey, serendipity through salary satisfaction. Okay, the only trouble is they already have that.
Oh.
Yeah, which brings us back where we started.
I'm very confused.
Yeah, but from the sound of everybody else, we're just kind of rambling now. I think Fellatio and Franklin are traveling through the universe and through Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, and through 20-foot beef platters and harpooning chickens. And I don't know. I don't know where we're gonna go from here.
Well, we're just listening.
But we seem to find ourselves in Washington Square Park all the time.
Do you put anybody else in them?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, ask who they are first.
Yes, of course.
I don't want no
or whatever.
No weirdos?
Well, weirdos are
fine. Oh yeah, why are you listening to this? Well, the whale couldn't go up the river, so the whale spat them out. And they harpooned some chickens, and they came up with serendipity through salary satisfaction. The only trouble, well, I could expect Bobby Bonilla to say something like that. The only trouble is they already have that. So we still haven't found out what the missing element is. It starts with an S. And we only have, what is this, 34 minutes to find out. That hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we go from here? Or where do they go from here?
Do not know. I think we should just end this thing.
Why? We haven't found the answer yet.
I think they should just be blown up and the whole universe spontaneously combusted.
Okay, but that means you go with it. So, we give out the number again, 632-6901, so several more of you can join in the search for the elusive S word. Serendipity through salary satisfaction. They already have it, though.
The plastic rings that hold together six packs of soda and beer are a serious environmental hazard. Left on the beach, hundreds of thousands of them float in our oceans. They're also dumped into our waterways with tons of other garbage or blown into the sea from coastal landfills. Plastic six-pack rings are death traps for birds and other marine life. The plastic rings are invisible underwater, so fishing birds can easily catch one loop around their necks. If a dangling loop gets snagged on a stationary object, the bird can strangle or drown. Baby seals and sea lions can get the rings caught around their necks, and as they grow, the ring gets tighter and they suffocate. There's a quick and easy solution to this problem. With scissors, just snip each circle before you throw it away, and pick up any plastic six-pack rings you find lying on the beach, and cut those circles too. Operation Earth. You can make a difference.
Back on WUSB, the name of the show is Brain Damage, and we're just trying to find out what the elusive S is in baseball. And we go to the phone. Okay, what is it?
All right.
Let me give you a background on the story so far.
I know about it. That he took bribes.
Yeah, but now he's been visited. Now he has visited this girl named Fellatio, and she is trying to search the parallel universes and trying to figure out what...
What kind of story is this? Is this a true story?
It is... It could be. We don't know.
Okay, I know about the story about shows Drew Jackson, he took bribes. Like, he took close to $35,000, $36,000, I think. I added the whole team from my viewing of the story is.
Yeah.
Okay, and now, I'm pretty sure that the leader of Planet Coulter had something to do with it, because when he had taken it, when he was taking the bribes, he complained about his sphincter bleeding before practice. It was hilarious, man, because he was like taking these bribes and he was getting enemas in the locker room. It was really sick, man.
Really?
Yeah. So he took a bribe, right? And they're like, listen, man, what you gotta do? Stick the enema up your ass. Now if Coulter attacks you, right? Don't worry about it. I know a good deal when I see one. But if I have that.
Let's see. We like to elaborate on the story. Got it? Hi.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
In another story segment.
Okay.
What was the last story segment?
The last story segment was that Fellatio and Franklin were visited by this moron. And the moron just had this fixation with enemas. So we were sidetracked, and they were sidetracked just a little bit because they're trying to piece together what Jose Canseco, Madonna, Michael Eisner, and Mickey Mouse have to do with all that. Maybe they're all a bit anal retentive. We don't know for sure.
Can I say something?
But on the other hand, you know, now they're really confused because, you know, into every life a little rain must fall, and they were sidetracked by this moron.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
You or the poultry guy, or both, put an end to this story because it has gotten so ridiculous. People just add on whatever they want to.
Well, that's the idea. We're experimenting here. We want to find out where it can go.
Like someone mentions something, and then the next person has something to do with that, and then the next person has something to do with that, and the next person just says the thing they want to.
Maybe, yeah, well, yeah, kind of. Well, even then, we've had continuations to the story. We've had some pretty nasty LSD trips. As a matter of fact, had two nasty ones in a row. We found out that Blake Edwards may be the Antichrist, and he may be behind all of this. Who knows? This may be a big elaborate production by Blake Edwards. He hasn't really been the same since Peter Sellers died. And
Blake Edwards died with a prank, you know?
No, Blake Edwards. You know who Blake Edwards is? The guy who produced the Pink Panther movies.
All right, but...
And is married to Julie Andrews.
Now you called up with a pranker, returning talking about nothing, while someone whispered things like, I can't breathe.
Yeah, Blake Edwards, yeah, because he was being choked by Blake Edwards.
And Blake Edwards is the Antichrist. And then he said something that just sent her out. You're taking his word seriously. I mean, first of all, it's almost 2 o'clock. I mean, you got to finish it by tonight, because you can't let this run until next week.
No, it won't run until next week. We believe me, there is an end, and it is up to me, it is my job, to put an end to it. But I will put an end to it when I am satisfied it has ended, and I am not satisfied. Serendipity through salary satisfaction isn't satisfactory.
I'll give you a satisfactory ending right now.
No, you will, well, maybe, okay, yeah, maybe.
Who is Madonna playing with?
Jose Canseco.
What significance does Madonna have with Jose
Canseco? Well, let's see. She's got him on a leash, and they're fighting their way through the cosmos. And all of a sudden, when it looks like Jose Canseco is going to prevail,
okay.
Mickey Mouse and his Sorcerer's Apprentice garb start shooting lightning bolts at Jose, bringing him down. And the voice of Michael Eisner says, "You will obey."
Poultry guy's part and your part.
Yeah.
That's just like, make people forget about that.
Well, yeah. But right. On the other hand, then they went on these wild drug-induced trips, and they were even more confused. So now they've got Michael Eisner, they've got Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, and they've got Washington Square Park, and all this stuff is dancing in their heads, and they have no idea where to go next. You have to take them. Go.
Michael Eisner, he is a wealthy man. He owns a Disney company, a company whose primary, I'm not saying full, primary concern is on entertaining children. The children of another galaxy had gotten so brash and obnoxious that they want money to play Little League, as we saw in that interstellar baseball diamond. But they're so ignorant, as they demand only monopoly money, which, as we know, is play money and doesn't count for anything. Madonna, on the other hand, is in constant struggle with the baseball player because Madonna wants these ignorant children to run baseball from now on. This baseball player that Madonna has on a leash, he symbolizes the baseball people trying to get back at their game. Madonna is the one holding it. Madonna is the one causing the strike. Because she wants other people, the children, to play. They can pay them big money. And so people can just watch it. Madonna is the savior of the story. However, Madonna uses her wealth, her money, and her power to influence the strike. By the time Madonna beats and controls all the baseball players by making them roll over, as you see with Jose Canseco on a leash, which is symbolic, Madonna will control the baseball players, and they too will be playing for monopoly money. Still bound by greed, but only for greed that doesn't exist. They'd be ignorant of money that's yellow, pink, and orange, that doesn't mean anything. since they will not realize that once Madonna has succeeded. And Felicio understands this. And so does Franklin. And so does Max. And they all decide something has to be done. But is it to prevent Madonna from changing baseball, maybe for the better? Or is it to help Jose Canseco prevail and all the other baseball players caught in this symbolic leash so baseball can play as it used to? The strike is a holding period. Felicio is the match that will either spark Madonna's interest or Jose Canseco and the baseball players' interest. And at the end, only one will prevail. It will mean the end of the strike and it will mean a change, well, as we know it. And someone else can finish that.
Okay, Jim's got one.
Right,
okay,
goodbye.
Thank you. So, Jim, your turn.
All right, the solution to the whole thing is Madonna hooks up with Jose Canseco. Felicio hooks up with Frank. Matt hooks up with third base. And they all hook up and they make porno films. And all the kids who are in the Little League quit baseball and start going to 42nd Street and start hooking up, going into these peep shows and start watching it. Because the bottom line is, there are a lot more things more important, like sex and love, that is much more better and more funner than baseball.
Yeah, but we still haven't figured out what the S is. Well, maybe it could be sex. I mentioned that earlier, didn't I? But I still have a lot of people behind this who still aren't, may or may not be convinced. And we will get to them in just 1 minute.
On 90.1, the back-to-school edition of Modern Ears can be heard on September 3rd at 7 p.m. We hope you have time to tune in. Take time off from your busy schedule and listen to the sounds of Modern Ears. That's September 3rd, 1994, starting at 7 p.m. WUSB Stony Brook on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. It's time for Jazz on the Air. Jazz on the Air features four rotating hosts who bring you a diversity of music from every corner of the jazz world. That's Sundays at 2:30 p.m. exclusively here on the first station of the 90s, WUSB Stony Brook.
Star Wars, and you too can learn the true power of the Force if you listen to Destinies, the voice of science fiction, every Friday, 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook. May the Force be with you.
You don't think George Lucas could be in on this, too? We'll find out. Okay, your turn.
Alright, it all started a long time ago.
Yep.
In Chicago, in the World Series.
Yeah.
And six White Sox, they took bribes to throw the World Series for the other team to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly what it's all about. And what do you call it? Shoestro Jackson
didn't want to do it.
Right.
So he told the team he'd play without shoes. That's how he got the nickname.
Well, actually, I don't know if it's that where he got the nickname long before that, but go on.
Oh, my friend knows a lot more about it because we both love baseball.
Okay.
You want to talk to him?
Yeah, sure.
Baseball freak.
Yep.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
When Shoulder Jackson, Joe Jackson decided to take over shoes.
Hey, moron! Guess what, folks? You never get the last word. So, we move on. Hi there.
Hey, Matt.
Hey. So, where do we go from here?
Well, I think the S might be structuralism. It might turn out that Michael Eisner is a structuralist, whereas Madonna is a post-structuralist. And Madonna... Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Well, Madonna contacts Camille Paglia and brings her in.
Okay, elaborate.
I'm not really quite sure. I mean, this is an ongoing thing. But,
yeah.
You know, if Michael Eisner... Does Michael Eisner want to stop the...
Stop what?
Oh, I'm sorry, stop the baseball strike?
Does Michael Eisner? Well, we don't know. When Michael Eisner says to Jose Canseco, "You shall obey," so far as we know now, he doesn't own any baseball teams. Does own a hockey team, though. Okay.
Well, hockey is much more of a sort of post-structuralist sport than baseball is.
Well, maybe.
Well, baseball is still very structuralist because everyone has their own particular position in the ball, sort of.
True.
You know, whereas hockey is more of, like, all over the place.
Exactly. That's right. One a defenseman can score a goal, and... Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Hockey is more of a post-structuralist sport. But where... But Eisner being a structuralist, how did he end up in a post-structuralist sport?
Well, you know, he's got all those PR people working for him, and they realize that structuralism is on the downcline. It is on the downturn, and so, therefore, the PR people, you know, go to Michael Eisner and say, "Hey, listen, you've got to, like, get in with post-structuralism. You have to go find Camille Paglia. You have to go find Jacques Derrida. You have to go find these people and get all of them onto one huge hockey team and have them play the Russians."
Hey, now we're talking. Well, what about, remember that hockey game in Strange Brew, the movie?
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah, isn't that kind of reminiscent of what something like that would be like?
That's true, although it'd probably be more like that the soccer game in... the soccer game in Monty Python with Karl Marx, and, well, you know, remember the philosopher's soccer game?
Yes.
And they end up, I think, going against Nottingham, whatever, and
yeah.
Get beaten up and so on and so forth. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that hockey game in Strange Brew, we had the really rigid structuralists playing a post-structuralist game, and it was... really stimulating to see that unfold.
Mm. That's true.
You know, it became a very structured game, and it was just not hockey.
But whatever happens, I mean, you have to know that the guy from Charlie's Angels is behind it all.
Yeah.
Because you never see him.
That's true.
I mean, he's got his hands in everything.
Yeah, and including some places where you might not expect them to be.
Well, we won't talk about that. This is a family show.
True. Okay, we'll move on, see where that goes. Thank you. Okay, where do we go from here?
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, I'd like to talk about, like, you know, Pink Floyd Wall, the movie.
Oh, you mean Pink Floyd is involved in this, too?
Yeah. Is that what, do you have anything against them?
I have nothing whatsoever against Pink Floyd.
So, I experienced, you know, something while I was watching it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Something you talked about on a show a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah, you said everyone should experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was pretty good. So, what do you interpretate out of this movie?
Never saw the movie, only listened to the album.
So what do you think about the album?
Oh. Where does it figure in?
You know,
that structuralism is just another brick in the wall.
Well, beyond that, you know.
Beyond that?
Yeah, do you listen to a lot of Floyd?
Oh, I listen to a lot of Floyd. Yeah. Yeah. Big time Floyd. Big time into Floyd.
Yeah.
But that's why. That's why, in a way, since we're on to structuralism, I can see Pink Floyd being post-structuralist in that way. But on the other hand, the album is so very well structured. So it's a juxtaposition, structuralism versus post-structuralism.
I'm looking to it. I look into a lot different.
Go for it. Tell me.
Tell you about what?
How you look into it. Go ahead.
Okay, I see, a lot of it has to do with, more of their childhoods.
Yeah.
Roger Waters' childhood.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. It seems like Roger Waters has a lot of hate and a lot of greed towards this album. It's mostly him.
Mm-hmm.
Albums about him and his experiences. At least that's what he wants us to believe. Maybe it's just a big lie.
Okay.
That's the great mystique about the album.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll get into this another time, too, because I do have to get a few more calls in.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Jeff. Okay, you know what?
I want to do one thing.
Let's go for it.
One
go.
Thing.
Go.
Your name is Cunnilingus, not Fellatio, okay?
Oh, come on.
What? I think it's sexist for us to go with men to go with the fellatio. I think men, if they're going to be liberated, use the other word instead of the fellatio word, you know?
Yeah, but we weren't.
Now, can I read my statement?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Okay, but this has nothing to do with the show tonight, but I wrote this during the week, and I wanted to read it tonight.
Yeah, might as well get it in. Go ahead.
I can. It's just real fast. It's about radio, what we do on radio. I mean, some shows, argue political points of views,
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that's where it's at. I think radio should be more personal or something, And it goes something like this. Let's see. There are sides of us, other dimensions of our lives, which call out for expression, as well, and which are somewhat less readily or easily translated into radio. It's pretty easy to put out opinion over radio, and a little harder to put out analysis, and harder still to put out thoughtful and original analysis, but that's not what I'm looking for. Here I'm looking for that there's that dimension of our lives, which is personal and solitary, which relates to inner experience and imagination and play, and an effort to make sense of the universe and spirituality, and the more intimate life of friendship and community, and the most intimate life of all, that of dreams. All right, I'm saying that's how I think we should go for that as a goal in radio instead of, political arguing about this, abortion or anti-abortion. Not that we do that on radio anyway, but just in general, that's my idea about radio.
Okay.
All right, man, so let's get back to the story.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Now, I don't know where to go with it,
Yeah, okay, we're going to find out with the next caller.
All right.
Okay, keep an ear open.
All right.
Have fun. Hi.
Hey, got Tony Thomas from Bayshore here.
Okay, Tony Thomas, I guess we can continue our little break from the story. Go ahead with a song.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, you'll love Tony. Didn't he do this one before? Well, yeah, he paradises.
Hard candy and nutrition. Snacks are not for me. Pastries and delicious cakes are the way to be. Pack all your bags today, 'cause there's no time to cram. Chance we get, we're gonna fly to Amsterdam. Hey, cake, I don't want any pie. I want to get my hands on Rasta. President. 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 Chocolate frosting to that cake to make it sweet. But it's that special ingredient you add that makes it a treat. With that special plan, my cake is flat. I can't have that. Hey, cake, I don't want any pie. I want to get my hands on Rasta Jafari. Hey, cake, but what I really meant, you have my vote for president. President. President.
I love it. Oh, a triumph, Tony. A triumph. It's you only one little flaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ja Rastafari.
Yeah, it's okay. It's late.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe a few too many trips to Amsterdam. We'll let it slide.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear from you again. To be honest, I have to be very honest. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's always good when you have a new one going.
But I think I know how. You know what? I think the whole thing with Canseco and Madonna.
Yeah.
They both had bad cake.
They both had bad cake. Hey, very possible. I mean, between Fellatio and Franklin's acid trips and trips to Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. Who knows what's going on with the future of baseball? But I do have to move on.
Giamatti too. He died, right?
Who's Giamatti? Yeah, that's right. You know, we never mentioned him. The fact that, where does he fit into all this? We'll find out.
Another slice of bad cake. Hey.
Hey, could be. Hey, maybe too much cake. Maybe gave him the heart attack.
Yeah.
Too much of a good thing, you know?
Yeah. Gotta watch that butter.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, gotta move on, though.
Hey,
Thank you. Tony Thomas from Bayshore. Yeah, hey, great way to kill a couple of minutes, right? And believe me, when we kill time, we don't just kill it. We slow torture it here on WUSB. When we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can't just use the time productively. We have to pulverize it. We have to... Oh, that's right. We got to screw it up in any way possible. And with 5 minutes left in the show... What do I do with 5 minutes left in the show? Kill one of it. That's right. Like I said, we kill time here like nobody else.
Stepped on the throne.
Okay, we have Solutions. Maybe that's the S. No, wait a minute. Solution starts with the letter S. But Solution itself does, too. 3 minutes left in the show. Running out of time. Got to get this in. Okay, what's your solution?
Where they found the great omniscient hermit, Ezra. Ezra said, the missing factor in baseball, the elusive letter S, is speed.
Ah. Now, of course, remember, that's right. She was in Chicago, a team that once did have speed, and lots of it. But they've been relying so much on power lately. And when they had Carlton Fisk for such a long time. So, no, the last time anybody saw a stolen base when Fisk was around was, what? I don't even remember the last time Carlton Fisk stole a base. Yeah, could be. Speed. That's right. God, you know what? That is a sports section subject, so I'm going to promote the show and just tell everybody 10 o'clock later today, sports section. We'll talk about speed. But thank you very much. Okay. I think we got it. Still there? Nope. I think he got his word in. Just as well. Yo. Hi. So what? The missing element is speed? Speed. Well, this is how... Well, you have to understand the nature of things here. Now that I have 2 minutes in the show, I will make a closing comment. That's it. That's the missing element. Speed. Huh? The guy who just was on before you. It's a pretty logical answer. Not enough. Used to have a lot of it.
Okay, well, I've got a quick song about your story.
Okay. Thank you.
Franklin whipping her and a spritzer, a wine spritzer in her hand. That was missing S.
Yeah. Okay, a wine spritzer. We had speed spritzers and what else? Okay, we have to move on. Thanks. Okay, what's your last word?
Matt.
Yeah.
Killed the whole teleconference.
Huh?
Killed the teleconference.
I killed the teleconference? How did I do that?
I have no idea. All of a sudden, Mean Gene just heard click, click.
Hang on. Yo.
Hey, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I was, it looked like things were starting to get worked out a little bit, but I was going to say that maybe the missing S word could have been symptomatic.
Symptomatic. Okay, how so?
Because all these things were happening. The thing with Michael Eisner, the thing with the problem with Madonna and Canseco. All of these things that you know look to be like problems.
Mm-hmm.
Were symptomatic of something.
Yes.
Symptomatic of a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. But speed is also another symptom because games are going kind of slow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, this is one instance where just about everybody is right. But yeah, I think you're more right than everybody else because symptomatic is exactly what everybody else was trying to say. They were picking out individual symptoms.
Yeah. I was gonna pick up the story and like work it in there, but looks like
we're out of time. I got Gary kind of waiting here. We're already over, so I have to end it here. But thanks for calling and thanks for everything. I think this is probably one of the better shows we've done in a while.
All right, cool. I'll call you next week then.
Okay, great. Same way. Same thing you did last week. This time.
Okay, we'll decide what to do from there.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, if you guys want to stay on the line, I'll talk to you after the show, but this is where I get off, and this is where the rest of us get off, too. Until next week, same bat time, same bat station, same bat boys. I don't know. We'll continue. Sports section, 10 o'clock, and we'll continue with that, too. Have fun.